who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel, the third chapter, and you know, a lot of us grew up on this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I know that this is kind of an extreme case of relationship gone wrong. Because of the king's position, he has authority that maybe your friend wouldn't have. But there's a concept in this story that I want you to see, because it's a severe case of rage. Anybody ever have a little rage in your family? Now, don't raise your hand or look over at your wife or husband. You could get in trouble. But, you know, there's rage. And there shouldn't be rage in a Christian family, but sometimes there's just rage, isn't there? There's just that rage. And so what I want to help us with today, how many, and again, don't raise your hand, but how many say, man, you know, I would love to have all that rage with this person gone in our relationship. And here's the thing, people that have that kind of a rage attitude, personality, characteristic they developed, you can't approach them, and if you do, you do it real lightly, don't you? They call it walking on what? Eggshells, yeah. And because you never know if they're going to blow up at you or if they're going to be nice today. And so you, for those kind of people, you kind of walk in and you kind of test the waters. How many knows what I'm talking about? You just kind of, you know, is this one going to be okay today? Or is, you know, and or you know real quick, I'm not messing with them today. This is one of those days, you know. And so it shouldn't be that way. And I believe that it's, as Christians, we're called on people that we're associated with, whether it's a work relationship, especially if it's a family relationship, immediate family relationship, we're all called to help each other be accountable, aren't we? If we're not going to do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do that? One of the things that I feel like is really important if you're going to be a leader at Prayer Faith is a good attitude. Now, that's not asking much, is it? We don't even take an IQ test or anything. The reason we don't is because if you did, your pastor would fail and I couldn't pastor. So, we don't take an IQ, but we do ask you to have a good attitude. Act like you're happy about serving Jesus. How many knows you ought to be happy about serving Jesus? You ought to be excited about serving Jesus. And if you're not, just don't lead. You know, just follow for a while or something. But act like you're happy that you're going to heaven. Act like your heart and your head both know you're in good standing with Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about building great relationships now. And I realize this is an extreme case and that this is maybe a little off, but there's something I want you to pick out of here today that will help you and me in setting great relationships and building great relationships. How many has ever seen the dog whisperer? You ever seen that? What is his name, Jake? Cesar Millan. A Hispanic guy, and he is on, I don't know what channel, but he's on cable, and he comes on, I think he lives in California, doesn't he? And he's an amazing man with animals. I mean, he takes dogs that are like, I mean, just mad. Do that again. Get the tape. One more time, I couldn't talk anymore. And I mean, just mad, you know, big dogs, little dogs. One of my favorite shows that I watched was this couple out in Texas somewhere had this bulldog, and he would run this guy out of his golf cart. He took authority over the golf cart. Big Texas guy, but he just, the bulldog would come up and just snap at his leg, and he'd be like, oh, 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 and he'd roll him clear out of the golf cart. Because the owner just didn't have up here what he needed. And here's what Caesar says. He says, I train people and I teach dogs how to have different behavior. And that's really what he does for the dog owners. In fact, if your dog's out of order, I can do it for a fee. You know. But he's a whiz with that. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you today about, is behavior that we've allowed to go on around us that's really not godly. It's not good. Maybe it's just the other way. Maybe it's like the king we're going to read about here. Let's look at it. It says, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3, the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. And 6 cubits. And that's about 90 feet high, the Living Bible says, about 9 feet wide. So it's huge. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province, of the provinces, to come and the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So this is not just a come all that will. This is the higher ups. This is the leadership. This is the cream of the crop that he's invited to come and to this big unveiling of this statue of himself. You got any kind of those friends like that that they want you to come when anything's going on about them, and it's all about them, and they're kind of building monuments to themselves and all. And so that's kind of what it is. But he's invited the best of the best, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in that group of people. They're the best. They're Jewish, but they're very intelligent. And so he has set them over and put them in authority over different areas in his kingdom in Babylon. And so now here they are, and they're invited to this party that he's throwing for all the dignitaries, the higher-ups, if you will. And so it says, verse 4, then herald cried aloud to you, it is commanded, O peoples and nations and language, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, the symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. So he's got it all planned out. You'll fall and worship this big image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, I want you to get something right there. He said the king made a decree, and when the king makes a decree, it's supposed to hold solid. He said, now the ones that don't, there's not going to be discussion. There's not going to be second, third chances. Here's the thing. If you don't fall and worship now, you're going to be thrown immediately into the fiery furnace. And the reason I want you to key in on that is because he's going to break his decree here in a minute. It's okay for these certain kind of people to break their decree, but it's not for you. You ever have friends like that? They may not hold up what they say, but they expect you to hold it up exactly like you. They'll call you on it, on exactly what you said you would do. But they have a little grace when it comes to themselves. That's what the king's about to do. Because he's already made a decree. Doesn't matter who it is. And I believe this is the reason I believe he's saying this. And he makes this allowance. He gives himself grace. Is because he knows the value of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what they bring to his kingdom. I believe sometimes people that have a lot of rage and fury in their heart, I think they want to be your friend and my friend because they know that we bring value to a relationship. And they don't want to lose that. But they want this relationship on their terms. Maybe that's us with different individuals. Maybe we want a relationship, but we want it on our terms with certain individuals. Maybe it's somebody that's hurt you or somebody that's you're afraid of losing, so you say certain things, you set up different boundaries for them, kind of like the king has set up these boundaries here for, you will bow, everybody will bow, everybody will honor me in this fashion, or else. Got any or else friends? Huh? So here they are, and he says they're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Verse 7, so at the time when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, symphony with all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, languages fell down and worshipped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Which there's a principle in here. Got a lot of young people in the front row. You know what? Sometimes everybody bows to something in society, to a culture, new cultural thing. That's not right. But how many know just because everybody bows doesn't mean it's right or you should bow? What you should do is say, here's my boundaries, here's what I will do and what I will not do, as a young person. And let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God set your boundaries early and say, I won't step outside this boundary, even if my whole high school does it. Even if my whole college, everybody at college is doing it, everybody doesn't mean it's right, does it? How many knows we live in a society in America where everything that's going on right now, how about the alternative lifestyle? I had to write a paper the other day about the alternative lifestyle and what it said about it. Brought up an interesting point here. Let me give you this case. It says, you know, in the Old Testament, it said you not to eat certain kind of animal in the Levitical law, and so it says that we eat those animals today. Not to mix clothing of different kinds, like we have polyester and cotton, and it says don't mix different seeds together. We mix different seeds together to get better crops, and we don't heed those laws. And so it's in the Levitical law. So is homosexual any different? I mean, there's a lot of difference between eternal value, human beings that's made in the image of God, and seeds and cloth. A lot of difference. And then he calls it an abomination. And then he ratifies it over in the New Testament. It comes through the cross, and again in Romans he says that is wrong. But society tries to say, with our own word, they're setting boundaries from the Old Testament without taking the whole and saying that this is still right for today. And so it's up to you and me to say, this is right, this is what I believe, because Old and New Testament both say this is wrong. And I won't be a part of that. Because how many knows, you cannot go by the society, or even a church. Some churches are ordaining homosexuals now. We have a church, a Hispanic church, that's moved into the Free Methodist organization, which I'm a part of as an elder in that organization. And they're moving into our organization, have actually already moved in, because their denomination they were with were ordaining homosexuals into ministry. So this is America. So you have to set boundaries up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had set boundaries up of what they will and will not do according to the Word of God. Now let me give you my first point. Here's my first point. When we're setting boundaries up in relationships, here's what has to be. Our relationship with the Father has to be set in concrete. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul. In other words, we have to be sold out to the Father. And if we're not sold out to the Father, let me give you this, and I believe this with all my heart. If we're not sold out to the Father, all of our other relationships will not be as good as they could or should be. You may agree with that or not, but I am sold on that. When my relationship with the Father is not right, it's not tight. It affects all my other relationships. I've just noticed that in my life. Because I'm not where I need to be spiritually, and so all... And I'm not saying you can't exist, because I think millions and millions of relationships do exist without having a relationship with the Father, but I think they exist and they're not near as good as they could or should be. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that in concrete. Because they're going to tell the king here in just a second, we don't even need to discuss this issue. We don't even need to discuss about my values and my principles and what I stand for in the kingdom. There's no discuss. We're not open for debate for us bowing down to this idol. And by the way, we may not have big statues erected in the United States to bow down to, but how many knows through music, through stars and actresses and actors and all, there's a lot of things that we can bow down to in the United States. A lot of things. Some will bow to cars. I got a friend that used to be a leader in our church, and now what he does on the weekend, when he gives a weekend, is either to the lake or to some car show. That's what he does. He's traded off his relationship in keeping the Sabbath holy with keeping the Sabbath selfish. Used to be an elder, a leader. And that's where he's at now. And he don't want to talk about it, and he don't want to negotiate it. He set new boundaries, but they're wrong boundaries. And I tell you that to say this, that you know what? Any boundary that we set needs to identify with the Word of the living God. I called an old friend that when I first rededicated my life to the Lord, he's in ministry now, and I had a dream about him the other night, and I was on this bus, and his family had bussed us down to wherever he was, and He was there when I first got started in ministry, and I his family bussed me down to where he was, and I said, "Are you okay?" And it was just as real as I'm sitting here looking at Spencer, just across, and I was looking at him in my dream, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "Yeah, I'm fine." And I said, "Well, I had a dream," and he, I said, I told him this later, but I said, "Are you okay?" I said, "I think that you're being tempted with some sexual stuff in your life." And first he told me in the dream, "I'm okay." And then he said, he kind of broke down and he said, "I'm not okay." And so I woke up and I told Jan, I said, "I got to call this guy. She knows him real well. He was instrumental in our ministry getting started." So I call him and I said, "Are you okay?" And first he told me, "Yeah, I'm okay." And then I said, I had a dream about you. And he said, "Well, I hope it was good." And I said, "Well, it really wasn't good." And I said, "You were being tempted in things with lust." And he said, "Well, I think I don't struggle any more than any other man." And then he said, he said, "It's funny you should call. I'm sitting here and I'm typing up about dreams and interpretation of dreams." He said, "As you call, I'm sitting here typing this up." And then he said, "I wasn't completely honest." He said, "You know, I found a couple of Playboys on the street the other day in his little town," he said, "and I took them home, but I took them home and gave them to my wife. I'm okay." Now, does that sound okay to you? If I found a couple of Playboys and took them home to my wife, she would think I'm not okay. One is like, "Why did you put them in your truck?" And two, "Why did you bring them to me?" I told Jan about it because she knows him very well. And she says, "He's got problems." And then he said, "My wife didn't believe I found them." I thought, problem number two. And then he confided in me and he said, "You know, I'm not doing well at all, really. I'm in a fog. I don't know what God wants me to do." And so I had prayer over him. But you know what? God is setting boundaries. And just like my friend, when we get out of that boundary, we begin to compromise. How many of those compromises is a good word and a bad word? All you young people, when you get married and you're going to set a compromise with your spouse so you can come to agreement, that's a good word. In fact, you need to learn how to compromise. Compromise a little bit. You know, that's a good word. When you're trying to find a solution that'll work for your home, compromise. And if you're the kind of husband or wife that don't want to compromise, let me tell you, you'll have lots of hard knocks and problems. How many, turn around and look at all the old people back here. Here, I'll get back here. I'm old people. Look at it. Look at all. How many of us has compromised to keep a good relationship? All the others are going to get divorced or something's going to happen. Because you got to compromise. I mean, that's just part of what you, of a good relationship. And it's a good word when you're talking about finding a solution to a marriage or something, but it's a bad word when you put it in this context where he's saying, you know what, you have to compromise your spiritual or moral values. How many knows you can't compromise those? You got to keep those strong. And what we do sometimes is I try to put my spiritual values or morals on you in gray areas. And only you and I can figure that out as we sit down and we get honest before the throne of God and then what we're going to do. You know, I can't decide what's good for you and you can't decide what's good for me outside the commandments, right? That's why there's so many denominations and so many divisions about you should look like this and wear this and act like this and say this and do this in service or not do this in service. You can have instruments, you can't have instruments. You know, I think there's a lot of differences that are opinions and what we set boundaries, but we don't divide over them. We just love each other over them. Just love each other over them. I love diversity in the body of Christ. I love it. One Sunday, years ago, I had the silent type Christians, you know, sit on this side. That they're people that worship, but they never move. You don't know if they like the sermon or not, because they're just... And after service, they may say something like, "That was good." Or nothing at all. You don't know. Does God love the silent group? Yes. Then you have the nodders. I love the nodders. At least I know, you know. They just nod at you. You know, say something good. So I put the nodders over here, and they're all, you know, I preach on them, they're going, just the little heads bobbing everywhere on the, you know. And then we had a few that liked to shout. We're not really a shouting church, but boy, you put a few of them together, and they get really verbal, you know. And they're over here, amen, that's it, you know, oh, perfect, you know, whatever. And they're just kind of shouting over here, and they're feeding off each other is what they're doing. Now, does God love the shouters any more than the silent ones? Are the shouters any more intelligent than those that just sit there? You know, it's not Bible, but it's a great phrase. It said, better to be thought a fool and keep silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. So, you know, I mean, I'm not knocking the shouters. I'm just saying, you know, if you're verbal like me when it comes to discussion, if we got a problem, let's talk, baby. Let's talk. Let's just hash it out, you know. And the reason I can do that is because my love for you won't change. If you disagree with me and if you're, you know, mad at me or whatever, my love for you won't change because God has taught me how to have unconditional love. And it's just God, because it's not within me. But, you know, that's what I appreciate about board members and elders. When you get to that level, you should be able to sit down. We ought to be able to have a staunch disagreement and still walk away from the table loving each other. That's setting boundaries to saying what, you know, what motivates me is unconditional love for you. In fact, I got to hurry because we got to go. And my wife, I know, has got her timer on today. Compromise, yeah. Now, where were we? Verse what? 9? All right. They spoke to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, psaltery, symphony of all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. There are certain Jews to whom you set over this affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury. How many knows that every person in this building is motivated by something? Unconditional love, conditional love, all the way to rage and fury. There's every, you know, if we could just sit down and take a survey, every one of us in this building have one of the things that motivate us. The king, because of his position and not having to answer to anyone, his things that motivated him and the way he got what he wanted was through rage and fury. We all have friends like that. Our co-workers, or somebody we know, that you know if you touch their button, there's going to be rage and fury to deal with. It's so funny when people, and I think God kind of plants people like that in every business just to keep us humble. Is there ever a business that don't have that in there? People, it's just, you know, if you just touch them wrong, it's like, ah! You know, just rage and fury. And we all want to tiptoe around them. And we don't love them enough to help them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego love the king enough to say, you know what, this will help you. And even if it doesn't, we're not bowing to our... And here, let me challenge some of you real quick. If you have somebody in your family or somebody that at work or somebody that they operate with rage and fury, just begin to let them know that when they talk to you, you're not going to email them when they're upset at you. You're not going to even write them a note or give them a phone call, but you're going to come and when they cross you and they're doing something wrong, you're going to love them enough to come up and just look them in the eye and say, how are you doing? See, we don't want to do that. We want to take the easy way out. We'd rather just walk around them because that's the way they are. They don't have to be that way with everybody. They could start with you. If you be a man or a woman of God and just say, every time you go in rage and it's over something that we need to settle as a co-worker, I'm going to be right in your face looking at you and loving on you. They're not used to people like that. They don't know how to handle people like that. Because, yeah, and that's what we think. Somebody said, so you can kick me in the teeth.
He would.
How many know that Jesus got kicked in the teeth because of you and me? How many glad that Jesus wasn't a sissy Christian? We'd still be looking for grace if Jesus was a sissy Christian. How many is glad he loved us enough to say, you know what? you're not putting me on the cross. God's putting me up there.
Amen.
You think you are, but he looked at him, didn't he? He looked at our adversary, and he just looked at him and said, I know what you think. You think it's you, but it's not. If it was you, I'd call a legion of angels, and they'd save me and whoop you. It's not you. It's God. I'm motivated. My boundaries are set by the living God, not by your attitude or not by your wants or druthers or not by what you think you can do to me. Because sometimes we're the most vicious crowd there is Christians. Somebody said Christians are the only one that eat their young. Yeah. And what happens is a lot of Christians, you know, come in, baby Christians, and they get eat up by some old Christian that's just, you know, you got their seed or you upset them somehow because you're not wearing what you think you ought to wear or something. And they just come up and just give you a chew and you thought, I got better treatment than this out in the world. And they just walk off. Listen, we got to build boundaries like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And be willing to say, with love. And here's what, you know, when you read this story, their rage didn't raise with a king. That's what happens in a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, is if my friend raises their rage, I'm going to raise up here to meet them. Well, what's that going to help? Tell me what can that cure? You get mad at me, I'll bow up at you. Now, what is that going to settle? Listen, but what if a Christian comes in with unconditional love and says, I know that this is a hot button for you, and I know your rage is going to go up to here, but I'm going to talk to you out of a loving and kind heart, and I'm going to stay right here. But I'm going to look you in the eye, and I'm going to love you enough to say, you know what? This is wrong. And I love you. Now, I've had friends walk off and you try to love them. And God doesn't say you have to just keep repeating the process. But you know, you at least need to go try and let them know, I'm not mad at you and you can come see me anytime you want. Some of them have, some of them haven't. But we need to at least try to set boundaries like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying to them, is this true? Now, let me ask you something. Is that what he said he's going to do for people that don't bow? Is ask them, is this true? What did he say he's going to do? I'm going to throw them immediately into the fiery furnace. That's what he said, wasn't it? You know why? Because the enemy is always ready to give you a second chance. If somebody, you make somebody mad, they're always going to give you a second chance to compromise your values and morals and your stand. Because they want your friendship because they can see Jesus inside of you, but they want it on their conditions. I want it on my terms. And so I'm gonna bow up at you one more time, but I want you to come over and compromise and come to me. Bless you. Verse 15. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, lyre, and the psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. If you follow my relationship on all my conditions, we're going to have a good relationship. How many knows you can't follow somebody's conditions on everything and have a good relationship? My wife is a loving person, but she didn't follow every instruction I give her. That's not why we have a good relationship. She loves the mall. I tolerate the mall. If I'm going to go mauling with her, I take a book. And I hang close to her. And I hang close to my book. Because I can do that for a little while, but, you know, 5 hours? 3 hours? And then go back and buy the first thing you looked at? What's that all about? The Holy Spirit showed you. It's right here. Come on. Have some discernment. She's already heard this. Because this is a story about women. How many of your wives? I could be talking about your wife, you know. I'm just saying we don't have a good relationship because we see eye to eye on things. We have a good relationship because we know where to compromise. We don't compromise moral and ethical values, but we do compromise on issues that just God put in women and God put in men. I haven't been quail hunting all year. We went, we went one day last week and I found out quail season's not over till the 15th of February. And so I said, it just went off, a light went off. Thought we might could do it again. And so me and my son asked our wives and they said yes, and we did it again. Guess what? The 15th's not till Thursday. We may do it again. We may. Is that why I got a good relationship? Because I like to quail hunt and excessive? No. Is that why they let us go? No. They know because we like it and they don't like it, but they know we like it. And so they let us go. And you might say, well, if I want to go, I wouldn't ask a little woman. Well, that's, you got problems, Tex. That you know not of. I mean, you know, and she could raise her hand and say amen to that if she knew it wouldn't get her in trouble. But here he is, and he says, you know what, I'm going to give you one more chance, and that's good. If you'll do everything the way I tell you, it's going to be good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? This is like a lot of parents. Let me tell you something. If you want to increase your children's obedience, don't be like the king. If you tell them that when you touch that, I'm going to immediately whip you, don't start negotiating with them like the king did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whip them. Or punish them, whatever the punishment is. When you tell your children, you cross this line, and I'm going to be there to meet you, head on, nose to nose. I believe this. I believe any behavior that's wrong, that's out of spiritual context, you know, that's out of spiritual balance in your home, can be fixed if it is met with a proper response at the proper time. Now, I know there's always the exception. And I say that real hesitantly because you think, everybody then thinks, well, we're the exception. My kid's just got this or he's got that and he's the exception. That's why he acts like this or she acts like this. And we compromise. Wednesday night, Jake and his family came in and Talon is 5 years old. And they tried to get him in children's church and he didn't want to come. It was new. They've had the music going. For whatever reason, he didn't want to come. Even his cousins tried to get him to come in, but he just met them this week and really getting to know them because he's been in Japan. And so they come in and they said, come on, we're serving ice cream. And he said, I don't like ice cream. His parents said, you like ice cream? No. No. Right after church said, we had a miracle. We went to Brahms and all of a sudden he likes ice cream again. Amazing. It's amazing. That's cute when they're five. How many knows it's not real cute when you're 20 or 25 or 30 or 35 or 40? I don't like that. And all of a sudden you like something again because now it fits you. And we do that a lot more than we'd like to admit. Change in our values and our likes and our druthers because it fits us at the time. So set your boundaries. They set boundaries around that. They said, we don't even have to discuss this. We don't have to discuss falling down and worshiping this and looking at this and doing this or, you know, cheating somebody out of this. You know, your boundaries should be set whenever somebody gives you too much change at the counter. It's not a blessing. You know, God's not just tricked them to give you a blessing. That shouldn't be even in your thoughts. That's a boundary that you say, you give me too much change, here's the correct amount, and you walk off. Find a bag of money, you don't say hallelujah. I've been praying for a bag of money. You try to find the owner. If you can't find the owner and it comes back, then hallelujah. Some of you trying to hit the spiritual lottery. Let me tell you something about relationships. May give you a word for a good relationship. Bill, you want to build a great relationship? Here's a unique word. W-O-R-K.
Right. Amen.
It's a real unique word, isn't it? If you want to have a good relationship, it takes work. It takes work. Last night at the Valentine's banquet, Millie was giving her words of love to her man. She told the teenager, you might want to close your ears. this is how I feel about Bill. I thought, man, that's good stuff there, you know? Just loves her man and not afraid to show her love and affection to her man and, you know, or express that to him and letting him know. Give him a rose while he lives. I told Mark, I kept waiting on your great poem to come out, and he said, I didn't have an ink pen. I'm sure he quoted you poetry, though, when you got home, didn't he? Oh, yeah. Set those boundaries, you know, and don't compromise. And one of the boundaries we should... Let me give you the tools, guys. Here's what God said. When you're going to build a great relationship with your spouse, all you young men that'll have a wife for long, here's what the tool He gave us. Really simple. Made it simple. He said, here's what I want you to use in ruling your home and establishing relationship. He said it's called L-O-V-E, love. That's what He gave us. All the men, He gave us love. And if we'll take that love that He gave us, unconditional love, and rule our homes with it, we'll have some great relationships. It's a promise from God. He didn't give us 10 tools, He gave us love. He said, you know, just love your wives. Love your wife as I love the church and gave myself for the church. Love them like that. And if you think about that, that's a tall order. A rebellious church, unholy church. Look at the church and the Israelites in the Old Testament, even in the New. He had to go in and run out of the money changers. All kinds of stuff tries to come into the church, and He still loved. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, loving us. So He says, love the church, and then love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's our tool for running our households. Not authority, it's love. It's responsibility, but it's love. I don't know a wife that exists that just wouldn't like to be loved. And she spends too much. Love her anyway. She's not a good housekeeper. Love her anyway. All of her faults and flaws and sags and bags, love her anyway. Love her anyway. Remember this, you picked her when you were picking.
That's right.
And then He looked at the wives. He said, wives, submit to your husbands in everything. So He just put submission in your hands. Submit. You want to set a boundary? You want to do something? Just submit. Which really kind of translates into respect, doesn't it? He just wants you to know that you support Him, basically. You go to Proverbs and He talks about a dripping faucet being like a nagging woman. Grip, 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 grip. Some wives think you put nagging in your hand. You know, I just about got in there. How many knows when we talk about working and having a great relationship, it doesn't mean I got her in a headlock and she's almost submitted. Who knows that's not a working relationship? We're a work in progress. Come on, honey, work. Submit, you know. Or, you know, I've nagged him so long, he's just about to do what I want him to do. Right now we have a problem in our house. And that did not fix the problem, Andy. We had some plumbing redone and stuff, and our rooms look nice, but we're trying to figure out, somewhere we got an odor that's coming back in the house. And so we try to put this on there, a little thing on there that's maybe fix it. And you know, stuff just happens, right? I mean, you... And so I've heard about that. What in the world is that? Why is it doing that? And we're trying to figure it out. And we don't know exactly, but we're working on it. And I'm working on it because... Well, one, I don't like smell either, but that really bothers her to have this new house and this old smell, you know. So I'm going to work on it fervently to try to correct that thing. And that's when when we're loving our wives, guys, if it affects them, it affects us. And it doesn't matter if it's petty or if it's real. Now, if the boundary, you know, they're outside the spiritual boundary and just being silly, then that's why we got to look at them in the eye lovingly and help them get back. And same way with you ladies, when you're submitting to us, but we get out the boundary, the spiritual boundary, where we're supposed to be, you lovingly look at your husband and you yank his chain. Hey! You say, well, how could I do that and submit? Well, that's submission. Because how many knows you have a higher submission, that's through Jesus Christ and the spiritual livelihood of your home. And so you're helping us get back in order. You're helping us. One of the most powerful things about this story and it is this. Look at verse, let's go on down to verse 17. If that is the case, he said, you know, you're going to burn, and they say, you know what, we don't even have to answer you in this because we've got our spiritual boundary set up. Which, listen, if you don't have, set your spiritual boundary up according to the Word of God. He says, if that's the case, O King, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, which is a huge statement, and He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, if He doesn't deliver us from the furnace or your hand, let it be known to you, O King, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Remember, that's one of his things that motivate him. That's what he operates with. Everybody operates somewhere between fury and unconditional love. Where are you at on the gauge? Unconditional love and fury. Well, I'll just pout for a few days, or I'll show her. I can out-talk him, or I can, you know. Everybody's on that spiritual gauge. We should be over unconditional love, but everybody's somewhere between fury and unconditional love. So his fury is full again, and the expression on his face had changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace 7 times more than it usually is, like hotter fire is going to do it quicker or something. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these who were bound with in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And by the way, what I'm talking about today, when we're talking about helping somebody that has rage in their heart, I didn't say it'd be easy, did I? This is an intense moment, isn't it? This is about as intense as it gets. And I'm not saying it'll be an easy thing. I'm just saying it's worth it. If God would say, I'll be a man or woman enough to help you in your fury, to love you, to be an unconditional loving friend to you. We're not taught that, really. We're taught, you know, just leave them alone if they're somebody in rage. And to the point of danger, I can understand that. But most of the time, people that are in fury and rage aren't endangering us. It's just that we don't want to get messed up in their mess. Because it's more convenient. It's easier. So, he said, then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. Now watch, here's where it gets really good. Here's where I want to bring you to. King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished because somebody set a boundary up and said, we won't cross over this spiritual boundary. I'm going to unconditionally love you, King, regardless of what happens. But we can't bow to your rage, your fury, your idol. Nothing that you're offering us can make us bow to that. See, we've got to set up a boundary. And when we do, I believe Jesus shows up just like He did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and begins to astonish those that have the raging fury like the king did. I believe God's looking for people that'll say, you know what, I'll stand up and I'll unconditionally love the unlovable. Those that are enraged and those that are bitter and those that are hard and those that are just raging at people around them. I'll stand up and I'll be a friend to them. I'll look at a family member and I'll get the house back in order. Because somebody needs to show them what unconditional love looks like, and they need to be astonished by how the power of God can work in a human being. I believe the lost and dying world is looking for that. I saw some kids on TV the other day that they're on a news program. They're talking about, we don't believe in God. There is a God, and we're not afraid. And they got a big deal set up on the website. young college kids. We don't believe in God, we're atheists, and we are not afraid. I thought, Lord, help them. God, help them. And I've just been praying for them, asking God to reveal to them somehow His power and His goodness and His love and His grace. Instead of saying, oh, I can't believe those kids. They're just leading kids to hell. Well, they are. But you know what? What are we doing about it with unconditional love? Had them on national television. Do we love them enough to pray for them? To say they're walking in darkness, they're ignorant of the marvelous life that we get to live in and enjoy? That's the kind of relationship we're talking about. He was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast? And I thought that was funny. Did we not cast? No, King, you cast. Did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, true, O King. They're not going to tell him that's all you're doing, King. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God, and it's peace meets rage. You know, people that's got rage that they need to see, they need to be introduced to peace through you. I'm telling you, we can have some great relationships if we're just unconditional love and humble ourselves and not cross over our moral boundaries and stand for what's right and have a loving heart. We can change the people around us. I believe it. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Makes you want to shout, where's the rage? Huh? What happened to him? He saw the power of Christ in one person. Well, three people in their case. But God showed up because they were different. Because they stood in unconditional love and they had their boundaries that we won't do and we won't participate in that because this is not what God has called us to do. And all of a sudden, and I believe it's the same way with me and you today, God shows up when we stand and like somebody's saying, to kick your teeth out, you know, and you just stand there in love and unconditional love and you're the same with them tomorrow as you was yesterday when they reamed you out and you're the same way the next day as you were when they reamed you out again and you're the same way the next day as when they eat on you again and you're the same way the next day because you got power of Jesus Christ and He sets your days, not your enemies, not your flesh. And they just see an unconditional love and they see the joy and the peace and all the fruits of the Spirit in somebody and they say, well, they cannot be broken. And they're astonished at what you have and what I have. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. And they begin to recognize that you and I belong to the Most High God. I mean, he said, I'd like to live a life like that. Yeah, that's what we're called to live. A life like that so we can transform people that are miserable. Dogs that are miserable are no longer miserable when the dog whisperer gets through with them. How about at Prayer of Faith we become Christian whisperers, human whisperers, where the Holy Spirit's just whispering through us, love this one. He's created or she's created my image. And they have eternal value. And I want to take them to heaven. And I want to use you to express my marvelous light to this individual. Huh? What's going to have to happen is some of us in this room is going to have a little more mercy and grace than we have now. Because some of you are watching, the littlest thing, you just kind of, just over little stuff. Remember what we talked about Wednesday? Choose what mountain you die on. And then stand on that one. That's what they did right here. They chose the mountain, I'll die for this one. You know, don't die on a silly mountain. How many, you ever die on a silly mountain? Let me see your hand. Yes. Two of us and the rest of us lying. They're just lying. So he gathers all the higher-ups together and he calls into them and he sees they're not burned and then he goes on down and he says, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who sent His angel to deliver His servants who trusted Him. If you want to have a great relationship, quit trusting on what your outcome is. Well, I tried that love, Pastor, with my spouse, and it just don't work with her. I mean, those love's not something He gave us guys to try. Love is what He gave us to live by every day. I try to submit to Him, but you know, He just walks all over me. That submission don't work with Him. Submission's not what He gave you to try out. It's what He gave you to wear. Just put your submission on and remember, I picked Him and I'm going to pray Him through in Jesus' name. He's going to look like Jesus when I'm through praying over Him. His bad attitude, He used to be like that, but things are changing. That's a good phrase you need to learn. He used to be like that, but things are changing. Our attitude, our relationship used to be like that, but we're changing. Our situation used to be like that, but we are changing for the better. That's a good phrase to learn. It's a good phrase. Somebody reminded me, I think it's Lena today, reminded me, said, how you doing? Unbelievable. That fits for everything, doesn't it? Having a bad week? How you doing? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's a good phrase. So he said, he who trusted in Him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not be burned. Going down to verse 30 on close. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here is a terrible, enraged man that saw the light and the love of God and with the boundaries around him of no compromise. And he said, you know what? I'm not going to hate you anymore. I'm going to promote you. How many knows who promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It wasn't the king, was it? It was God. It's important that we learn that because God wants to promote you. And if you so... Let me give you this and I'll close. You do not get the relationship you want out of life. You can write that down. You do not get the relationship you want out of life. Whether it's your marriage, with your kids, whoever it is. You get the relationship, you receive the relationship that you sow to. Very big difference. Well, you can want all you want, but you won't get it unless you're sowing to a good relationship. You get what you sow to. They sowed to the kingdom of God. We won't compromise, and we'll take whatever comes, but we won't compromise. We can't cross that spiritual boundary. Sow to great relationships. Let God use you to reach somebody that's got fury and rage, and nobody else will look at them and lock horns with them, but love them enough to do it. To approach them. And when you approach them, make sure that you walk away and they know that you have unconditional love for them. Your heart has not changed. You disagree and you're calling them on an issue that's wrong. If it's your kids, meet them there every time. Never disappoint them. Set a boundary there and just meet them there with love. Just meet them there with love. How many just knows miserable kids because somebody won't meet them there with love? They negotiate like the king. You don't stop that, I'm going to whip you. You don't stop that, I'm going to whip you. You don't stop that, I'm going to whip you. It's like, that's all the parents. You just pull the cord. You don't stop that, I'm going to whip you. Stop doing that and negotiate. You know, stop negotiating every time and meet them there at that boundary. Don't compromise. And see the love of God shine in and through you. And make a difference in somebody else's life. Father, thank you for challenging us today with the Word of God. Lord, for those relationships that you have brought to our heart today around us that's out of order. I pray for wisdom and guidance and direction from the Holy Spirit to help us in approaching these individuals. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a co-worker, somebody in our community, somebody that's close to us. But we will go to them and be a light to them. And for our teenagers, Lord, and for our young people that are in college and high school and junior high, I pray that in Jesus' name you'll help them to set boundaries around them. And when everybody else is bowing, that they'll stand in the midst of adversity and say, I can't bow to that. Because God is first and foremost in my life. God, you have given us tools and the Word and the Holy Spirit and your grace and your power and your love to build and have great relationships. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us to stand strong in the things that you've given us. Teach us how to use them. Teach us how to face the raging and those that are miserable with the light and the love of Jesus Christ, that they will be astonished is our prayer and our desire. And they will turn from their rage and fury and humble themselves as the King did into your marvelous light and give you glory and honor. Use us to do that this year in a powerful way. Use us, God, for your glory. Take out the junk that's in us that we want to rage over stupid, simple things that has nothing to do with eternity or our value as a human. And help us to compromise in those areas where we can get along just because of something that is simple and it's not about salvation, it's not about eternal life, it's just somebody's difference of opinion. Use us, Lord, to love people the way you love people. That's the second great command, is love you and then love our neighbors, ourselves. We desire today to be light and life to our families, our community, our church, to our schools, our co-workers, in Jesus' name. Use us, God. Amen. If you're here today...